started, give us a, take a second to confess any known sins, a time to put aside our problems and worries so that we can concentrate on what, obviously, from what God the Holy Spirit has to say to us, not me. So let's take that moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to gather together and to look at your word. Please take these things and teach them to us and make them a source of challenge and blessing to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, just some review points from last week. We saw how that God has placed a desire for the eternal inside your heart as part of his plan for you. Everybody's got that, you know, that God-shaped hole inside of them that we try and fill with all different kinds of things, but it will only be filled God's way. It's the only way to get satisfaction. It's the only way to understand his plan for your life. It's the only way to be able to go to bed at night and say, you know, hey, I really feel like I accomplished what God wanted me to accomplish. That's the only way to do it. And although this desire is inside every person, okay, every person does not have that desire fulfilled. Okay? Because everybody tries and fills it with something, but not always the right thing. And the desire is not enough. You have to respond to it positively, so to speak. Okay? You have to understand that what that desire is for, and you have to respond to it the correct way to advance spiritually. All right? You know, we talked about if you don't have that desire fulfilled, okay, you'll try and fill it with other things. You'll try and fill it up with things of the world, all the things that we look around and think will give us happiness, you know, all the success, the friendships, money, whatever it may be. Okay? But it will never satisfy you. Remember, it's the 55-gallon drum with dice in it. Okay? No matter how many dice you put in there, okay, there will always be empty space inside that drum. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Some other things, just some fast points we need to make to understand and to go forward in this study of the plan of God is the key to understanding your relationship with God and to accomplishing his will is to think about your relationship with God in terms of today. Okay? And listen, this is how we're designed to need a relationship with God. It's now in the present. Okay? Because there's so many people that go through their lives not looking at things this way. They either, you know, they spend today feeling guilty about something that's happened in the past that they've done, or bad about something, or looking back at their circumstances and complaining. Okay? Or they're worried about the future. Okay? How many times do you say, gosh, well, you know, maybe it's just me, but do you sit there today and say, gosh, today would be different if I had only done so and so? Or gosh, if I had only not done this, or if I'd only done this, okay, then I could be in a better place today. Okay, or are you unhappy now, okay, because you concentrate on what can make you happy in the future? Okay, do you look at life and listen, I'm the worst in the world about this. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, when Cook finally gets a dadgum job or finds what he wants to do, okay, then we can have some peace and quiet and contentment in my life. Okay, when we strike oil in L.A., you know, I've got that little mineral rights in Lower Alabama. Okay, as soon as we strike oil down there, as soon as that lottery number comes through, okay, then I'll be happy. Okay, listen, I'm the worst in the world, but I'm an idiot when I think that way. It's foolish. Okay, that's not the way God's designed me. Listen, when I look back and think, oh, if only so-and-so had happened, or if I'd only done this, or if I'd only hadn't done this, okay, you have to realize that even the mistakes you've made in the past are part of God's plan for you today. Because remember, he's omniscient, right? He's always known everything. He's always known that when I woke up this morning, okay, I would have already done all these things. Okay, I would have already made these mistakes. Okay, so his plan for me, okay, when I'm thinking the correct way, his plan for me starts today. Okay, based on all this in the past, right? And listen, it's not like he's surprised. It's not like I could spend a day thinking, wow, if I only hadn't done this, or if I'd only done this different, okay, then I would be inside God's plan. Okay, well, that's not the way God works with your plan. Okay, he gives you a chance every day to accomplish his purpose. Today. Okay, so that's the way you have to look at it. Because that's all he's given us. All right? Okay, there's another real struggle, and this one can be very subtle. Okay, there's another real struggle, a real trap in Christianity, is to think about your relationship with God in terms of what God can do for you. Okay, and listen, most people, myself included, of course, we try to use God for their own purposes. Okay, they try and think, well, you know, this is not, you know, what can I do, okay, that God will give me something for? All right, and listen, you've all heard this. You know, I mean, how many TV shows or movies have you seen this on? Okay, where somebody sits down and says, okay, God, if you'll solve this problem, okay, I'll go to church every day. Okay, or if you know what, and here's my favorite one. Okay, if I win the lottery, okay, just think of all the good that I can do with all that money, God. Okay, I promise. Okay, if you'll solve this problem for me, okay, listen, I'll turn around and do a lot for you. Okay, but listen, it's saying, if you do for me, then I'll do. Listen, God's not up there thinking, okay, you know, I've designed him so that I can do for him. I mean, he is in a way. But listen, we are here for him. Okay? It's not the other way around. Okay, you were made for God. You were made for his purpose. Okay, not him for my purpose. Okay? You can't be obsessed with yourself thinking, what can I get God to do for me? Okay? But isn't that the way we naturally look at things? Isn't that the way the world tells us to do? You know, find something you do well, find something you enjoy doing. Okay? But listen, John 3:30 tells us the way it ought to be. Okay? Because this is the truth of how you have to think to accomplish God's plan. It's short, I'll read it to you. Okay? Like John the Baptist said, John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease. Okay? You have to look around and think, what is it that I can do for God? Okay, it's the John F. Kennedy speech, right? Ask not what God can do for you, but ask what you can do for your God. Okay? When you have that attitude, that mentality, okay, then you'll have the success. Then you'll be able to accomplish his plan. All right. Yeah, and we often look at life in terms of, oh, you know, if God will just do so and so, then I can be successful. But we look at success the wrong way, okay? Because being successful is not the same thing as fulfilling God's plan, okay? The way we look at it. Okay? And you've heard all those verses before. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Okay, or it's the spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. Okay, the words that I spoke to you are spirit and life. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:8, go there and let's look at that. First Timothy 4, verse 8 says, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness, that word is eusebia, and it means a spiritual life, okay? Godly doesn't mean acting all holy. It means living a spiritual life. It says, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Listen, God's plan for you is not about being successful now, you know, meeting all your career goals, having a great career, having a great family, okay, having a great retirement plan, my little pet peeve, right? Okay, about having a great financial plan. You know, that's not what it's about. Okay, it's about building up things that are going to last longer. Okay, your relationship with God, accomplishing God's plan for your life, has benefits now but it also has benefits in eternity. Okay? Not just now. And that's the way we have to think. And the principle is God's given us today to do that. Okay? So what it all comes down to is that question of time. You know, and how often, and I know this is not just me, but, you know, I'll get up in the morning and think, well, you know, I really need to spend some time today with God, whether it's some time in prayer, some time listening to, you know, listen to a lesson or reading your Bible, whatever it may be, doing a devotional. Okay? But then you think, okay, my mistake is I'll go in there and I'll turn on my computer and start looking at email. Okay, especially this time of year. Right? You know, I'll start looking at the email and thinking, well, you know, okay, I'm just going to do this one quick thing. Okay, and then I'll do it. All right, well, you know, once I start doing that one quick thing, it gets to be, you know, 8:32 and the phone starts ringing. Well, you know, well, I'll have some time. It'll calm down later this afternoon. Okay, well, pretty soon, you know, somebody's got an emergency. You got to run somewhere and do something. You got to do this. Oh, well, I'm going to have a lunch meeting. I'll do it right after lunch instead of taking a little 20-minute nap. Okay, well, you know, yeah, no, I'm a little tired. You know, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, you know, soon it gets to be 5 o'clock and I'm thinking, okay, I got some time now. Well, in walks Mary Michael or Cook or whatever. You know, and they're like, yeah, well, won't you come in here and talk to me? So, you know, more and more stuff. It gets to be 8 o'clock, and it's like, you know, it's already 8 o'clock. I'm tired. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to have a drink, and I'm going to watch TV. Hey, how many times, how many days do you just run out of time? Well, the problem is we tend to allocate our time based on what we think is important. So what you have to do with every day is you have to take it and you have to break it down. Because let me tell you, it's easy when it's one day, okay, when you don't have this outlook, it's easy to get up in the morning and think, for me, here's my trap. Okay, I'll get up tomorrow morning, okay, it's Monday. Well, you know what? It's okay. I've got all week, okay, to get ready for next Sunday. Okay, I've got 6 more days. Okay, I can do it next Saturday. I've got all the time in the world. It's real easy to take one day and put it off. Okay? Or get up Monday morning and say, hey, well, you know, I did go to Sunday school yesterday. I can sleep a little bit longer today. Okay, I don't need to get up and do that. Okay? But listen, you have to look at things in a daily perspective. You have to look at today as this is the day, you know, the way I used to wake my boys up. Okay, this is the day. You know, and they'll say, oh, the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, they don't very often, but you know, it's a nice way to think. Okay, but this is the day that the Lord has made. You have to allocate time today. Okay? Because what does he say? You know, how many has he given us? So far, one. Okay? There's no guarantees for tomorrow. And when you have that perspective, okay, of I want to accomplish God's will today, okay, then you'll allocate your time based on what's important. Ooh, well, you know, today might be it. I don't know. All right? Go look at 2 Timothy 2 while we're there. I like this analogy Paul uses. In 2 Timothy 2, it's right after 1 Timothy. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2. Verse 4. He says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, don't you love that analogy? Okay, of the soldier who goes, who's ready to go to battle. He's joined the army. He's getting ready for battle. He's like, oh, wait, you know, I got to go home and finish the dishes. Okay, or I got to go home and do this. No. You're in active service. You don't entangle yourselves in all these other affairs. Okay, and I'm not saying don't ever do the dishes. Okay, or don't go to work, or don't answer your emails. Okay, or don't answer the phone. Okay, but it's a question of setting those priorities right. Okay, listen, it's easy to get run down. It's easy to have those days all run together, to run out of time. Okay, because that's part of Satan's strategy. It's what he does. Okay, Daniel 7:25 says he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. Okay. Yeah, I've been there, right? Okay, what, last month, December? Okay, well, we're coming up on February, March, and April. Okay, I can relate. Okay, he will wear down, okay? But you to get to that point where you can say, like Paul did, I've finished the course, I've fought the good fight. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Okay. To get to that point, okay, you have to prioritize today. Okay, now listen, this idea of God's plan for our life, this idea of His perfect will, His perfect purpose for our life, okay, it's something that we so often struggle with, is it not? Is it just me that thinks, okay, now, gosh, what does God want me to do? Where does He want me to be? Okay, I don't know how to figure this out. Okay, well, I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but there's really, to discover God's plan for your life, His perfect will and purpose, to be in that place where you say, I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And there's only two ways to figure it out. Okay, one way is by speculation, and the other way is by divine revelation. Because no matter how you go about trying to find your purpose, no matter how you go about trying to find the perfect place where God wants you to be, okay, it's only guessing unless God tells you. Okay, there is no other way. We're all programmed to look at things the wrong way. Hey, what if we said, oh, I just need to cook, Yeah, he keeps testing me with this, but obviously God's letting me use Cook as an example for this study. So I need to go ahead and get through with this study so Cook will find a job, right? Okay, yeah, but you know, I look at him and all the advice out there, all the people he's talked to, everybody says, you need to find your passion. Okay, you need to find something that you enjoy doing. Okay, you need to think about this. You need to think about, listen, what are your goals? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Okay. And listen, I know Cook wants to accomplish God's plan. He wants to be where God wants him to be in 5 years, or in a month, in 6 months, in nine, you know, whatever it may be. Okay, I know he does. But any way he goes about doing things the way everybody tells him to, okay, wow, what is it I really want to do? What is my passion? What, you know, here in 5 years, I want to be able to, you know, to afford a new car, a new place to live. You know, I want to be in this financial situation. I want to be working somewhere, you know, blah, blah, blah. Any way he goes about doing that, apart from God telling him, is a guess. Okay, there's no way that we can figure this out ourselves. Okay, remember the invention example? Okay, remember the guy who walks up and he sees, he goes into Alexander Graham Bell's house and he walks in and he looks and says, what's that thing hanging on the wall? Okay. Well, there's only one way to find out what its purpose is, and that's to ask the one who made it. Okay, the same thing holds true with us. Right? The only way to find out what God's purpose is for Cook, the only way Cook's ever going to discover, I'm so glad I didn't wake him up, the only way he's ever going to discover what it is God has for him, where God wants him to be, what God wants him to be doing, is for God to tell him. Okay, go to James 1. You ought to be pretty close to it. 32. James 1 verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay, what does it come down to? What does God say? You want to know what your purpose is in life? You want to know what my plan is for you? Ask me. Okay? And listen, look at it this way. Is what God tells us true or is it not true? Okay? Is the Word of God true or not? Can we have faith in this promise? Well, listen, if we can't, okay, what are we doing here? The point is, if he says, listen, it will be given you, but you got to believe that I'm going to tell you. Okay, and what comfort there is there? I've tried to get this across to him. Listen, okay, you know, you want to be doing what God wants you to do, and it's not just cooks, so do I. Listen, I'm going to ask him. Okay, God, I don't know what it is today that you want me doing. Okay, would you mind showing me? Okay, or would you just tell me? Or would you just, you know, bring the circumstances around like they're supposed to? Listen, I had this happen Friday. Yeah, I'll tell you this. I have this client. She's, I don't know, she's maybe 70. She lost her husband like a year and a half ago. And her husband was the kind of person, kind of like my dad, that took care of everything. Okay, he always wrote all the checks, did all the bills, handled all the money, did everything. She did nothing. Okay, she could not tell you where the checkbook was. Okay, and of course, he's the one that died first, right? Well, okay, Friday afternoon, it had gotten a little bit slow at my office, so I took the dog for a walk. I came back, it was about 6:20, and what I do, you know, my office is at home, so what I do at 5:30, is usually I turn the phone off. Okay, so I turned the ringer all the way off, but, you know, the caller ID still flashes and shows. Well, I came walking through my office to put my headset up, okay, and I looked down and the phone was ringing, okay, and it was her. Well, I answered the phone, and, you know, of course we got into this whole thing. She had gotten this weird letter from somebody in Washington, D.C. about some CD that she had that was a $100,000 CD, and down at the bottom of the letter, and I hadn't even seen it, but I know what it is. At the bottom of the letter, it says balance zero. Well, she completely freaked out. She's like, I had a $100,000 CD there. Well, you know, I figured out what it was. You know, it wasn't a big deal. It was just about being transferred from another bank that had been, you know, gone under. It was an FDIC letter and all this other stuff. And, you know, she was completely freaked out. She's like, I got to bring you this letter. We got to do something. Where could my money go? I tried to call the bank. All their computers were shut down. They couldn't tell me what my balance was. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, we just, you know, we got to talking. I calmed her down. I'm like, don't worry. You know, there's no way. They can't just take your money. Nobody's taking your money. It's still there. Quit worrying. Calm down. You know, I'll get into it. Even if they've done it. Yeah, I mean, and we went through the whole thing, and I talked to her again Saturday, and she's like, I just don't know what I would have done if you hadn't answered the phone. And I'll sit there thinking, you don't have, it's 6:20 on a Friday. We're going out to dinner at 7 o'clock. Okay, I have not had a shower. I just got through walking. I was in my office for maybe 10 seconds. Okay, I walk in. I take my iPod off. I take the headsets off, and I stick it in the drawer, and I walk out. I just happened to look at the phone 90% of the time. I don't care if the phone's ringing at 6:20 in my office. Okay? Yeah. You need me at 6:20? Call my cell phone. Right. But how strange is it that she picked that exact time? She'd had the letter all day, right? Okay. Well, you know, we got her talking about it. Yeah, there's my opportunity. I said, okay. I said, you do realize that I don't answer my phone. She's like, I know. She goes, I'm so glad you answered. I said, what are you thanking me for? I said, it's a fluke. I said, God's the one who put me through the office at exactly the right time to have this conversation with you. Because we got into the whole conversation about that. Okay, so I can look back and say, you know, wow. Okay, God, this is what you did today. Okay, it's amazing. When you're there, when you're open to it, listen, God's going to work the details for you. Okay? If he promises he'll tell you, he'll tell you. All right? Because he has these things done for us. Go to Colossians 1. I'll read you this one. I found this one, Acts 17, 28. I love this. It says, "For in him we live and move and exist." Right? This is the whole thing. This is the whole point. For you were created for a specific purpose to serve God. Right? Listen, he has you designed for a certain thing. When I woke up yesterday morning, or Friday morning, I had no idea what God had planned for me on Friday. Okay, Friday, I'm kind of slack on Friday. I don't do a whole lot of work if I can avoid it. Not until, you know, starting next week, I guess. Okay, but I had no idea that God had this planned for me. But imagine how excited I would have been. Listen, when I went to bed Friday night, I got to thinking about it more, and I'm like, you know, I cannot believe I answered the phone. And I cannot believe we got to have that conversation. I talked to her Saturday. She's like, "Oh, you just calmed me down so much." I said, "Well, you know who we have to thank for that." You know, went through that whole thing. I mean, what a great opportunity. Not something I would have known about beforehand. Okay? But we were created. I was made to do that one thing. Okay? To calm her down. Okay? To give her a little peace and confidence. To give her that opportunity that we could have a conversation about how God's working. Okay? Listen, these are the kind of things when you start your day off saying, "Okay, I don't know what it is today, God, but I know you've got something in mind today." Okay? Don't know what it is? So what? Okay? Ask him. Okay? But ask him with confidence. Okay? Because he's got it planned for you. See ya. Hold on, I want to get to these. Go to Philippians 1 instead. I like this example because only in him and with him can you discover your purpose in life. Because before you ever got to today, before you ever got to this moment, okay, he's already done all this for you. Right? And I guess the analogy that came to my mind is sometimes when we'll have people over to dinner, and you know, Mary Michael is a great cook. She loves to cook, but she's a tornado in the kitchen. All right, she makes, you know, she comes in, the plates look beautiful. You know, we're sitting in there eating and doing all this. Well, you know, me and some of the guys will go watch some of the football game or something like that. All the while, I'm thinking, kitchen dishes, 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 dishes. Okay, I've got to do the dishes. Okay, because I know, you know, she's going to stand in the kitchen and say, "Oh, no, y'all, we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it." And I know when everybody leaves, okay, at 11 o'clock, Mary Michael's going to say, "I'm going to bed, we'll do this in the morning." Well, I'm going to walk in the kitchen, and guess what? I cannot do it, okay? I can't leave it. All right, so I'm thinking, you know, okay, she'll go to bed, I'm just going to have to do the dishes. You know, and the girls are in there, they're chatting or whatever. We're sitting all the way in the den doing, you know, watching football or something or, you know, whatever it may be. Well, you know, people get ready to go and everybody leaves. When I get up and, you know, Mary Michael's in the kitchen, I walk in there and the dishes are done. You know, and I was like, oh my gosh, what a great feel. You know, and the girls had all sat around in there. Some of them had started. Mary Michael's yelling at them, but, you know, they're going to do it anyway. And everything gets done. You walk in there and think, it's all been done for me. Okay, well, listen, God works the same way. Okay, that's the way you have to look at your life. Okay, where are we? Philippians 1. He's already done everything for you to accomplish his will and purpose. Okay, Philippians 1:6. He says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." He's already started on us. Okay? He's the one that's going to finish it. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will," and that means to give you motivation, okay, "both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Okay, listen, he started on us already. Okay? I didn't do anything to orchestrate that phone call. Okay, he'd already prepared this beforehand. Is it Ephesians 2:10? "The works which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Okay. I'm close. If it's not Ephesians 2:10, it might be 8. I don't know. It's around there somewhere. But, okay, listen, he's started on us. He'll finish. He's got this purpose in mind. We need to understand that. He was thinking of us long before we were thinking of him. He had this plan laid out for us before we had any desire or idea that we wanted to accomplish it. Okay, so recognize this. He's got something in mind. Every day when you get up, he's got something specific for you. Okay? All you got to do is ask and be ready. Rats. Any questions? Kind of out of time. All right, let's close with prayer then. Father, thank you for all these things that you've prepared beforehand for us. Thank you for having this will and purpose for our lives. Thank you for the promise to show it to us, to lead us in it, to let us enjoy it. Help us to concentrate on that, to concentrate on where our focus should be on this daily basis. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.